John chapter 8, then. Let's begin reading in verse number 21. Again, the backdrop of this discourse is what? Where is this taking place? It's taking place in the temple, and it follows one of the feast days where all the children of Israel were required to gather themselves in Jerusalem before the temple. So we have Jews out of every nation under heaven. The feast days are over. Jesus is going into the temple to teach, and a large remnant of the children of Israel have stuck around to hear what he has to say. Verse number 21, John chapter 8. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Does this give you a hint as to why people today don't want to talk about the old rugged cross? Yes. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. Do they get it? 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Do they get it yet? No. Is Jesus speaking plainly?
Yes. Too plain for them.
Mm-hmm. Verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Has Jesus up to this point in his ministry spoken clearly enough that they might understand that this is the Father's language? This is the language of Scripture. Have they suspected that he might be one of the prophets? Yes, they have, as a matter of fact. Why would they have thought that he was one of the prophets? Did the prophets speak in language that would have been recognized as coming from God?
Yes.
Sure. They were able to understand the language that he spake. But do they get it here? No. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Is this a prophetic utterance? At this particular time? Yes, indeed, that it is. Verse number 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, we've covered that adequately. What was the impetus for them to believe on him?
Well, they were to believe that he was the Messiah.
Yes, but disregarding what sort of belief it was, what was the impetus? What caused them to believe, quote unquote, on him? Do you think that they began to understand the language that he's speaking is vaguely similar to what we read in the synagogues and the scrolls, and it seems to square away with what we read in the synagogues, in the scrolls? Well, yes.
And they had just watched the scene with the accusing Pharisees.
Yes. Yes, indeed they had. Absolutely. He'd done many notable miracles up to this point. Now, concerning the kind of belief, we covered that already. What sort of belief did they have? Yes, they had a head knowledge. They put two and two together intellectually and decided there's something to this person, and it looks like he is who he says he is. But they don't believe to the saving of the soul, and what is the missing ingredient? Let's see if we can get ahead of getting ahead.
Understanding they're lost because of their sin.
That's it. They refuse to recognize that they're sinners. Do you think that a lot of people today have an intellectual assent to the truth of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to ask them, is the Bible true? Well, yes. Yes, it is. Some would say, well, it's been mistranslated, and so it contains truth. And some others would say, well, yes, I think it's probably God speaking to man. Is that a belief to the saving of the soul? If you ask them who Jesus was?
He was a good man.
Yeah, he was a good man or a great teacher. What's intellectually wrong with that concerning the kind of belief that people hold? It's intellectually dishonest, isn't it? If he was a great teacher, then why didn't you grasp him as the solution to your sin problem? Exactly right. Sure. Okay. Verse 33. I'm sorry. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Is it possible for a servant to have divergent beliefs with his master?
Yes.
Of course, but who must he obey? His master. Absolutely. Is that an intellectual assent? Of course. When it becomes a matter of the heart, what happens?
Then the servant has a decision to make.
Yes. Will I continue to be a servant? Verse 37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. The hints are getting thicker and thicker, aren't they? I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. What point is he raising here? Beginning to raise, because he's going to add a lot more to it.
Oddly enough, he's getting ahead of them in them accusing him of being Satan.
Yes, of course. But isn't he suggesting here is that there might be two fathers in play? He sure is. Verse 39, they answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Logical? Sure. Do you think it has to do with nature? Same thing we're talking about in Romans chapter 8, isn't it? Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. What do you think they mean by we be not born of fornication?
Well, his mom, they thought that she committed adultery.
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, that was in wide circulation, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
And there could be a double engender here. Mm-hmm. What might be the other?
That there Abraham's seed, that they're from Abraham.
Yes, we're not the seed of Gentiles, the sinners of the Gentiles, but we're Abraham's seed. And so, therefore, we have standing with God. We don't need you. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Logical? What's the argument here? No, she didn't.
He actually came from God. God.
Could they have ascertained that if they had so desired?
Yes.
Yeah, this has arisen before in the book of John, and we've covered it pretty careful.
They could have asked people. They could have talked to Mary. They could have talked to Joseph.
Of course. Of course they could. Why do you suppose they didn't?
Because they didn't want to.
Yes, because his word had no place in them. Verse number 43, why do you not understand my speech? Why indeed? That's a good question. Why do you not understand my speech? And this is where we left off last time. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will, underline the word will, do. He was a murderer from the beginning that abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, this is the passage we want to concern ourselves with this morning. This is a good question. In verse 43, why can't you hear and understand my speech? Do you think this is an accusation, or do you think it's an exhortation? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? Is he making an accusation here, or is he exhorting them?
Yes.
What's he exhorting them to do?
I mean, yes,
to check themselves.
Pardon?
To check themselves.
Of course, to stop and reconsider. Think about these things. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, even those Jews that said that they believed on him cannot understand his speech, because in verse number 31, we're told that he's primarily speaking to them, the ones that believed on him. And did he not say in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Does that sound like a conditional thing?
Yes.
Of course. If they believe to the saving of the soul, then what will they do? They'll continue in his word. But now we're understanding that they cannot understand his word. And if they cannot understand his word, could they continue in his word? No, because now we're down to a heart matter. Now we're past verse 31, where those Jews that believed on him are giving an intellectual assent to the fact that he sure does sound like a prophet. Do they honor John as a prophet? Yes, John the Baptist. They sure did. Why?
Well, for one, his appearance.
Yes, his appearance was a large part of it. But what else? Maybe his manner of life? Sure. Is there anything else? Do you think maybe they had some dim knowledge that he seemed to be speaking the words of God?
And also, wasn't it based on his history, his prior history of dealing with them? They didn't conclude he was a prophet at the Jordan, the River Jordan. Hadn't he been known as a prophet prior to that?
Yes. That's what attracted them to go down to Jordan where he was baptizing.
Sure.
Because he did have reputation. And what was John's message? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, they counted John as a prophet, speaking of the Israelites, but did they accept his message? He was. Book of Malachi. He openly said that he was the forerunner. And yet they believed John. But did they really? What would have been the evidence that they believed John?
They would have accepted
Christ as Messiah. So was their belief in John as being a prophet superficial? There's another dastardly take on this, too. You don't suppose they might have known that he was a prophet, but they chose to disbelieve his message? What did John say of the Lord Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What's the problem with these Jews here now in chapter 8?
They don't think they have any sin.
They don't think they have any sin. They don't need a lamb to take away their sin. They're Abraham's seed.
They're perfect.
Yes.
Why did they have to every year go through the ritual of
the Day of Atonement? Do you suppose that had it long ceased to be an observance of their sin and just turned into a ritual?
A holiday.
Yes. Yes, a holy day.
Yeah.
Sure. Of course it had. Do you think that there's willful disobedience being exhibited here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. So in verse number 43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? That's a good question. They should be doing some soul searching. Do you think that it's the same story today whenever the gospel is told or preached?
They don't want to understand because of pride, and they don't want to admit that there's something wrong.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They do not. Now, let's make another comparison between this kind of belief that they have in verse number 31 and their reaction to being faced with who they are in the passage we're looking at this morning. It's a matter of the soul. That should help. What essentially is the soul?
The mind, emotions,
and will. The critical ingredient here. The mind, the emotions, and the will. All three are on full display here in this passage of Scripture that we're reading this morning. Okay, so what's the difference between their belief in verse number 31 and their not understanding the speech of the Lord in verse 43? This is very important. You, as an ambassador of Christ, need to understand this as you work with people and witness to people. If you understand this, it will be a great value to you.
I would think mostly the will.
Of course, that's the difference here. In verse number 31, they believed on him based on an intellectual assent. Is intellect a part of the soul?
Mm-hmm.
It sure is. So on the one hand, they're willing to say that, yes, there's evidence here. It seems like he speaks the word of God. We know that John the Baptist attested to him being the Messiah. We know that he did many notable miracles. But now, in verse number 43, what's the difference? Not just verse 43, but verse number 41 and following. You're going to run into this when you preach the gospel to people.
Well, part of it could be that they don't want to admit there's anything wrong with them.
Yes, they could. It's two different kinds of appeal here. In verse number 31, they believe intellectually. It's appeal to the intellect. But in verse 41 and following, what is it? It's an appeal to the will. In other words, Jesus is saying, you intellectually can accept that I'm the Messiah, but now when it comes down to doing something about it, oh no, we won't have any part of that. And you run into the same thing when you witness to people. Oh yeah, the Bible's the Word of God. Yes, we believe that Jesus died on the cross. Well, would you like to ask him to save you? Oh, no. I'm a good person.
I can do it myself.
Yeah, I can do it myself, sure.
Isn't it pride?
Of course.
Which is probably the worst sin.
Yeah, it is. It's the sin that brought the devil down.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you're not always what you think. You've heard people say that, you are what you think. Are these people what they think?
Mm-hmm.
No, but they are what they will. Do you think that throws people into confusion when within their own soul, their intellect is telling them one thing and their will is telling them something else?
They'll just stop thinking.
Shut, of course, shut the thinking process off. And go back into some other mode, which is what they've done here. Abraham is our father. Let's not talk about the fact that John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They would have understood that language that takes away the sin of the world. They'd have understood that too from the Day of Atonement. Yeah, I think that's a superficial thing to say, but yeah, it gets to the idea. Absolutely. So his question, why do you not understand my speech? Is he even saying that possibly your intellectual assessment isn't quite right? I think so too. So, if we allow the question to stand, then we must continue in verse 43, even because you cannot hear my word. Can not. It doesn't even say will not. It says, can not. Well, that's an interesting proposition, isn't it?
Well, they've been captured by the devil. They're not, their mind is closed. They're off.
Well, and I think we go back to the I am from above and you're from beneath. Mm-hmm. We're getting to the spiritual aspect of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Verse number 44 kind of unravels the mystery. It's because of your nature. Now, when he says in verse 44, you are of your father the devil, does that mean that the devil is their father through an act of physical procreation? No. What does it mean?
It's the nature.
Yeah. You have your nature from him. Goes all the way back to something that happened in the Garden of Eden. By the way, did they have the book of Genesis? They sure did. Did they have Genesis chapter 3? Yes, they...
If they understood the nature, if they don't understand this, they didn't understand that, did they?
Well, they would have understood it if you told them, you know, the Gentiles have an evil nature. Oh, yeah. What kind of a nature do you have? Oh, we have a good nature. Yes, they would have understood it. They would have framed it in such a way to exempt themselves, of course. But yes, they'd have had an understanding of that. So Jesus is saying, you don't have the nature of a Gentile. Didn't God say in the Old Testament that your father and your mother were Gentiles? He sure did. It's an accusation to them to remind them of where they came from before they ratified the old covenant at Mount Sinai. That's who you were. That's where you came from. And do you suppose he's telling them right now that's who you still are? Because the ratification of the covenant at Sinai did not change their nature, did it? As a matter of fact, it did just the opposite.
It made them accountable,
that's true. Do you suppose it made their old natures even worse?
Yes,
it did. Absolutely. Now, instead of just being sinners of the Gentiles, they're transgressors of the direct commandment of God. A lot of things in play here in John chapter 8. Oh, lots and lots of things. So, back to the can not hear my word. Now, that word hear there means to understand or perceive or to comprehend. It's not speaking of physical impairment. It means, why can you not understand my word? Why can you not perceive what I'm saying? Why can you not comprehend my word? Well, I think this is a good juncture to look at some scriptures, to compare scripture with scripture, don't you? Because a great question has been asked, why? Why indeed? Well, let's see what the scripture says to say about why. And we won't have to go far. Look at John chapter 9 and verse number 19. John chapter 9 and verse number 19. A notable miracle has been performed. And we'll go to verse number 27 first before we read the entire passage. You'll figure out who he is when we read it, answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Now with that in mind, let's read about this miracle, shall we? Beginning then in verse number 19. Let's start in verse number 17. This is a man that was born blind, not one that went blind during his lifetime, but one that was born blind, which puts him in a particular class of blind people. Verse number 17, Jesus has healed him and opened his eyes, and of course the Pharisees now have got to destroy this man because he's bearing evidence that's contrary to their will. This is not a matter of the intellect because he's standing right there in front of them and he can obviously see. Intellect is not the problem. Verse number 17, they say unto the blind man again, this isn't the first thing they've said, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Was he right about that? Yes, Jesus spoke prophetically, but he is not essentially a prophet. He's prophet and priest and king. Verse number 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, listening carefully, and they asked them, his parents, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. Verse number 21, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. What did the parents just do? Do they know he can see? Verse number 20. Yeah. But what are they doing in verse number 21? Do you think they did know? They say, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. Do you suppose they did know?
I don't think they did.
Well,
Who
has been watching this child since he was born and taking care of him? He's handicapped. He's blind.
Were they afraid to admit?
There you go. Rather than to admit, they throw the kid under the bus. We're not going to get involved in this controversy. Go ask him. Do you suppose they did know? Who knows more about their blind son than they do? Don't you suppose they would have asked him, how did you get to be able to see? Do you suppose they might have even been there when Jesus opened his eyes? There's a strong possibility of that too, is there not?
Yeah,
I'm pausing because are a lot of Christians in this place? We don't want to talk about the Lord Jesus because it's not popular. Go ask the preacher. Verse 22, just in case you doubted, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. What are the Jews just saying here? We don't care what the evidence is. We've made up our minds. Don't confuse us with the facts. Is that not what they're saying?
Pastor, what's the threat? I don't understand that. What does that mean to put them out of the synagogue?
Well, they'd be cut off from the religious life of the people. Remember, they don't have a temple now. And so they cook up the synagogue as a replacement for the temple. So if you're put out of the synagogue, it's like being barred from the temple. You can't take part in the religious life of the country.
So you
become an outcast. No longer exactly. That's pretty much the thrust of it. Being put out of the synagogue. Let's see what this guy's take on this is going to be. This is a pretty amazing miracle that Jesus does here. Okay, he's of age. Go ask him. We don't want any part of this. We don't want to be put out of the synagogue. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They've just put a proposition to this man. What is it?
Say it was God.
Yes. Yeah. Give God the praise. This man is a sinner. He could have. But he's not going to take the easy way out. He could have just said, well, praise God. Would they have let it go at that time? Yeah. They sure would have. They're not looking for a confrontation on something that is so obvious. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Do you suppose he knows whether he's a sinner or not? Well, let's see, shall we? Let's read on. Verse 26. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened thee he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. We've already been over this ground before. And ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Do you think this guy has a little bit of godly courage? Do you think he knows whether or not Jesus was a sinner? Of course he does. And so now he puts them to ridicule. Will you also be his disciples? Verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Did Moses ever open the eyes of anyone born blind? Do you suppose maybe they were born blind? Did Moses open their eyes? Verse number 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. What are they trying to say? I know nothing. Yeah. We're going to dummy up here. We know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, This guy isn't finished with them yet. Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now that's a fine testimony, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Let's see what they say. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?
They were born in sins.
And they cast him out. Is this guy an Israelite?
Pretty sure, because why would it matter if he got kicked out of the synagogue if he wasn't?
Of course he was an Israelite. Does this sound like some animals are more equal than others?
He was like excommunicated.
Of course, they cast him out. Now, whether or not they cast him out of the synagogue, we don't know. But this guy has witnessed a wonderful witness here.
Very simple, very straightforward.
And he could have passed this all off by saying, Okay, I give God the praise.
Mm-hmm.
It would have ended there, but it didn't.
Read the next four verses.
Oh, fine. Let's do that. Verse 35, And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto them, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? What do we see in verse number 36 concerning the man's soul?
He's open.
He knows that Jesus opened his eyes, and he's already witnessed that if he wasn't of God, he couldn't have done this. This is a notable miracle. And how does he address Jesus in verse 36?
Lord.
Lord, that I might believe on him. Is that an act of the will? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Does this sound like the woman at the well? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Is this an act of the will? Is it in response to the intellect? Sure. Absolutely. The intellect is the gateway to the will, isn't it? You can't have a will uninformed by the intellect. Wow. What does that have to do with what we're looking at in John chapter 8?
Well, during that conversation, he said, Hey, I told you, and you wouldn't hear me.
Yes.
Are you going to hear me this time if I tell you?
Yes. And do you think he was saying, will you be his disciples also? He was saying it in jest.
No, I think he was serious.
He was serious, of course. If you really want to know, would you be his disciples? Would you be willing? No, we're not willing. Even though the evidence is right there, our intellect perceives the evidence, but we refuse its testimony. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. What's this business? The sheep hear his voice. Haven't read the whole thing because I think we all know what's going on here in John chapter 10.
Those who are willing to hear.
Yes. Of course. Do you think those that are willing will?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're his sheep. Mm-hmm. If they weren't willing, they wouldn't be his sheep. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Start reading in verse number 12. Now we're going to have to do a lot of reading here, so we'll just do a little introduction and handle the rest of it next time we get together. But this portion of John chapter 8 is so important for us to understand because we're not just looking through the lens of history here. We're looking at what's happening today. The same principles still stand. So, in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12, And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness, we have made this man to walk. So now you know what the miracle is here. And who's Peter speaking to?
Israel.
The men of Israel, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Does it sound like Peter is in the same vein as the man that was born blind? Is he going to let go of this? Oh no, here's an opportunity, and we're not going to back off. And what do you suppose the powers that be are going to have to say about this? Are they going to attempt to murder Peter? Of course they are. Of course they are. Is it going to stop Peter from witnessing? You've heard me say it when we preach evangelical messages here. My role is dichotomous. On the one hand, if people hear and receive the gospel, they become my friends and brothers. If they ignore it, I just became the greatest enemy that they ever had, because now they stand accountable. They've heard it. That's what's going on here. But it takes a little courage, doesn't it? Let's pray.